This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.
Do you say and do things when drinking that you regret the next day? Is alcohol a problem for you or someone you really care about? Over the next hour, we'll find out how people just like you and me found sobriety in AA through sharing their experience, strength and hope. Welcome to AA Live, brought to you by Alcoholics Anonymous.
Hi everyone, my name's Mike and I'm an alcoholic. Welcome to AA Live. Tonight's episode is a little different from our usual format. Sue and I were out and about at the 63rd annual AA convention held right here in Dunedin from January the 16th to the 18th, just a couple of weeks back, at Otago Boys High School. The theme for the convention was our primary purpose, and we've pieced together some interviews with various members from across the convention. You just heard the Māori version of the Serenity Prayer, which was sung as part of the Mihi Whakato, which is a traditional Māori welcoming ceremony. It's less formal than a full pōwhiri, but it's a beautiful way of bringing everyone together spiritually and making guests feel welcomed into the space. It was particularly meaningful to have this at Otago Boys High School and to acknowledge the Kaitahu people and the land that we were gathering on. Next, we've got a clip from a member that Sue and I caught sharing at the international meeting, and we were quite captivated by her story. We have a whole episode with Rita coming up in the coming months, but here is a small clip of her sitting down with Sue and I after the international meeting.
All those things that society said that I needed, you know, the house, the beautiful house, the happy marriage that I met on the AA campus. You know, we were married 19 years. He returned to using.
Right, yeah.
The career. You know, I have multiple sets of initials behind my name and my animals and my health, and it all just kind of fell apart at once. And I went to bed. I started binge meeting. You know, I'd go to like 4 or 5 meetings a day at 25 years sober and just sit there and just sit with my hands on my... just sit on my hands and listen and you know, God, what is this? What do you want from me? Okay, I guess I'll do a big girl 11th step prayer and pray only for knowledge of your will, because I kind of already know, you know, and I'll pray for the power to carry it out. And so, you know, I went to bed. I was just so depressed because I didn't know how to rebuild my life. I just... It was beyond me. And my brother was getting married, and I did not want to go. And he was getting married, like, up in the northeast, up in the Maine area. Yep. And it's beautiful up there. I mean, there's nothing but lighthouses all up the rocky coast. And I did not want to go because I was just in a pity party. I was the guest of honor in my own personal pity party. But I went, and me and my girlfriend just started driving up and down the coast, we called it hiking, but we would just stop and get out and take pictures and get back in the car and go to the next place, and I loved it. And it got me out of bed. And I, having enjoyed that, I realized, hey, you know, you can be depressed on the road, seeing beautiful things, going to AA meetings just as easily as you can at home behind closed doors with the windows drawn, you know, just dying inside yourself. I mean, you were dying inside yourself in that driveway listening to the AA podcast, not being able to stop. You know, here you are sober 25 years. You know, that's no way to live. So I took my first trip, and I loved it. I took the backrest of my Corolla. I took the back out of the back seat. I stuck a mattress in. I got a little cooler, and I went. You know, and I went for 10 days. And my friends thought I was crazy.
Was it your first adventure?
Yes, I was 10 days. And I went to Daniel Boone Forest, and it was amazing. And my girlfriends asked me, you know, aren't you scared? I said, no, getting sober was scary. You know, living to be 63 is, well, at that time I was like 59. That's scary, you know. Sleeping in my car is not scary. So I did that, and I liked it. So I decided I'm going to buy a minivan. So I went from a Mustang convertible, 5.0, like a fast one.
We've got our thumbs up here.
Yeah.
You can't see them, but
There's nothing like the wind and the power, you know. So I went from that to a soccer mom van, and it was like being in, you know, after being in the Corolla camping, it was like being in a mansion because I could roll over, I could sit up. So in January of 24, I went full time. I got rid of the rest of my stuff. You know, by this time I had filed for disability, or I don't know what you'd call it here, but you know, I was told I was medically retired, so they let me retire early. And you know, I just continued with my supports and my program and going to meetings, and little by slowly I kept traveling. And I decided in 2024 that I want to go to Alaska. So my friends said, have you talked to your therapist? Yes, I have. I've talked to them, and I know which meetings I'm going to go to. And I got to tell you, technology, I know there was a meeting on technology earlier, or the internet in AA, it's really made things much easier. Mm-hmm. You know, if I didn't have like a phone that was way smarter than me, a smartphone, I just don't know. One, I wouldn't be able to meet people on Facebook groups ahead of time. Like, I'm going to Adelaide. The guy next to me is from Adelaide. I'm going to be able to stay in contact with him so that when I get there in September, you know, that I'll have connection.
You've met, from being here in Otipoti, Dunedin, you've met
people that are in the next
kind of next adventure or next version.
Next league.
Those five ladies from Perth.
Yeah.
I'm going to get up all in their business.
Awesome.
Because I know I'm going to be able to go have bad coffee and good conversation with them in Perth. So I'm setting myself up because, you know, an alcoholic alone is in a bad neighborhood. So, you know, I still have a disease that wants to kill me, even though I've got this. I mean, when they say living beyond your wildest dreams, this is beyond anything. Well, it's more like a lost dream that's awakened, you know, because I did dream of coming to New Zealand. I did dream of going to Australia. You know, when I was, before my drinking really took off. And then it was like, you know, didn't matter.
And here you are in this world, you know, today, right here with us, which has been so great, because I was, when you were speaking on the stage, it was, this idea of this nomadic lifestyle, but also this whole idea of exploring, and every day could be different. And as you said, why live in a room and try and have recovery each day when you could actually have this whole new...
Yeah. Every day is a field trip, you know.
What a powerful story from Rita. Thank you for sharing that with us. Now, before we get into more of the interviews that Sue captured over the weekend, I wanted to share some context about what made this gathering so special and give you a bit of background on the organisation and history behind it all. The convention was organised by the Southern Area Assembly, or SAA for short. Now, the SAA is one of the regional service structures within AA New Zealand. They cover a significant region, everything south of the Waitaki River and below the Haast River on the eastern side of the Southern Alps, plus the Marlborough region north of the Clarence River, and that's a really big area. The SAA committee is made up of group service representatives from AA groups throughout the region, along with elected officers who help coordinate assemblies, conventions like this one, and maintain the vital connection between local groups and the broader AA fellowship in New Zealand. And something else that made this convention particularly meaningful is that 2026 marks the 80th anniversary of AA in New Zealand. That's right, 80 years. It all began in 1946 when Ian McEwan, who was a patient at Ngāwhatu Psychiatric Hospital in Nelson, saw an advertisement in Reader's Digest and wrote to Alcoholics Anonymous in New York requesting a copy of the big book. After reading the book and leaving hospital, Ian travelled throughout New Zealand, carrying the message of recovery, speaking openly about alcoholism and the fact that help was available. And from those early efforts, just one person with a big book and a desire to help others, AA grew steadily throughout New Zealand. By the end of 1948, there were 6 members. By 1951, there were 6 groups with around 60 members total. And today, here we are, 80 years later, thousands of members strong across the country. And when you think about it, 80 years of people helping people get sober one day at a time, that's something we're celebrating. Now, one of the things that really struck us at this convention was the strong presence and partnership with Al-Anon. For those who might not know, Al-Anon is AA's sister program. Well, they're actually a separate but closely aligned fellowship. Al-Anon was co-founded in 1951 by Lois Wilson, who was the wife of AA co-founder Bill Wilson, along with Anne B. Al-Anon specifically serves the families and friends of alcoholics, helping them deal with the impact of someone else's drinking on their lives. They use a modified version of our 12 steps, and they operate on what both organisations call cooperation, but not affiliation, meaning we work together in spirit and mutual support, but each fellowship maintains its independence. Seeing Al-Anon members running alongside our own at Otago Boys High School campus was a powerful reminder that alcoholism truly is a family disease, and recovery works best when everyone affected has access to support. There's something really beautiful about both fellowships being present in the same space, each doing their own work, but united in purpose. All right, so with all that context in mind, let's get into the rest of what Sue captured over the weekend. She was out and about at the convention, and she managed to capture some incredible moments and conversations. The atmosphere over that weekend was electric. You had people from all over New Zealand and even overseas gathering together in fellowship. One of the things that really stood out was the Saturday night meeting called A Vision for You. And if you know your big book, you'll recognise that as the title of Chapter 11, which talks about the promise and potential of what this program can offer. Sue caught up with Melinda, who travelled all the way from Australia for the convention, and she shared about a moment that really captured the spirit of that meeting, the AA countdown.
Okay. Hi. Hey, thanks for taking the time to sit down with me. And, introduce yourself.
All right, my name's Melinda. I'm from the Gold Coast in Australia.
Fantastic. And have you just come out here for the 63rd convention?
I have, yes.
Wow. And you've just been telling me, I just met you, obviously. Well, actually, I met you on the first day.
On the first day, yes.
And it's so cool to bump into you again.
Yeah.
And Gold Coast, you've come all the way here for the convention?
Yeah, just specifically for the convention. I brought my 2 kids along as well.
Really?
Yeah.
Fantastic. And you've been to quite a few of the meetings?
All of them. Yeah, it's been amazing. really enjoyed it. Yeah, came back last night after dinner as well and did the public meeting as well, and that was fantastic.
Oh, yeah, that was really moving, wasn't it?
It was. There were so many people there too.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I'd never actually experienced how they go from the sort of older sobriety date down to the countdown.
Yes. Yeah, isn't that the most emotional thing? It's amazing to see.
Yeah. And then can you explain that for us?
So they start with the oldest sober member, which in your case last night was 61 years, which is just incredible. And they count down all the way down to the earliest sober member, and the oldest sober member will then present a book to the youngest sober member, and it's usually been signed by all the people in the convention. It's a bit of a tradition.
And it went down from...
from 61 years down to 24 hours.
I know. And the chap that was 24 hours was just really overwhelmed, wasn't he?
He was. It was amazing. And I was sitting next to the next sober person who was only 3 weeks, and she was in tears, and it was just beautiful.
Yeah. And when did you stand up?
I'm 28 years this year, 29 this year, so, yeah.
That's exciting.
It is exciting. It's gone very quickly.
29 years has gone quick.
It has. It seems to have, anyway. Not the first couple of years.
Oh, fantastic. I hope you have a really good time here in Otupotu, Dunedin. And you said you're going to stay for another...
Yeah, I'm going to come back. We're staying for another few days just to have a bit of a sightseeing tour around Dunedin and down to Invercargill. But I'll come back. Yeah, absolutely. It's been wonderful.
You're amazing.
Thanks
for being here today.
My pleasure.
Okay,
thank you.
Cool. Catch you soon. Bye.
The countdown is always such a moving part of any gathering. Seeing people stand as the years are called out, whether you've got 30 years or 30 days, everyone's journey matters. We're all just 24 hours away from a drink at any given moment. Now, one of the beautiful things about AA is that it truly is a program for everyone, regardless of who you are or where you come from. Sue sat down with Dee from Otatahi Christchurch, who shared about her experience as a queer woman in the fellowship.
I do not look like a Deanna Marie, do I?
You don't look Deanna Marie.
Mum just loved that name and she had to name me that.
Really?
Yep. Well, Marie's a form of her mum's name, Mary.
You're right.
Yeah. But I don't mind Deanna because it's a form of Diana and Diana Prince, Wonder Woman.
Oh, my gosh.
Fucking love Wonder Woman.
You love Wonder Woman?
Fuck yeah. She's got all this paraphernalia. She's amazing.
That's amazing.
Are you recording me now?
Yeah, of course I'm recording you. We've got that soundbite. Hey, that's cool. But, hey, so tell us where you're from. And
Invercargill originally, yes. OG, yeah. So I got sober in Invercargill, which doesn't have much of a gay scene, per se. And actually I met a girlfriend in Invercargill at AA. And sort of fell in love, but then in retrospect, we're actually better friends. We're still friends now, which is amazing. But yeah, she has a house in Wanaka, and she broke up with her husband. And then, I followed her to Wanaka for love. Yeah.
Amazing. And what year was that? So was that your sobriety date?
About 4 years ago.
I think
I was about half a year when I moved. Yeah. I know you're not supposed to get into relationships.
Stamp, right?
But I don't listen. I'm not good with rules.
And how's that going for you now? The rules.
The rules?
Yeah.
Oh, that could be bent a little bit.
Right.
Like me.
Nice answer. And I met you yesterday in the LGBT meeting.
Yeah, and I actually chaired it with my ex, Sarah, who I was a bit frightened about seeing again. But in actual fact, we're friends again, and like she's a really cool person. So that's good to repair that relationship, which is something that had been talked about in some of the meetings. And I think it was a real good weekend for that.
Yeah.
At first I was a bit frightened, scared that all these feelings were going to come up, but it's really good to have friends. And I like being friends with my exes. Because there's a reason why you're in that relationship and why you want to be around them. And so it'd be horrible. It'd feel like you're losing something if you just cut it.
Right.
I think.
Yeah. And that was that message even in the closing meeting we've just had, which is amazing.
Yeah, it was wicked.
Yeah, I had a few tears rolling down my face, just like a little young buck I am. But, it was really good. And so you found a real good, that you've managed to find that room in your sort of, I guess, gay experience and alcoholism. It's all kind of pulled together? In that sense, it's a weird question. I might have to
No, that's okay. No, yeah. I think first and foremost, like, I'm an alcoholic first, and I'm just gay as just a side gig. Yeah, it doesn't really change who I am as an alcoholic. It's just who I prefer to have sex with.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's the most important thing, is that we're all alcoholics. It doesn't matter where you come from, what culture, how old you are, how sober you are. We're all just trying to help each other. And I quite liked what that guy said earlier about the unity and sticking up for each other and being there for each other. And I think that's really amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
And if we can do that even a little bit, probably save the world. And I actually said to one of my people that I was trying to help that I reckon my sobriety is a superpower. Yeah. Because I feel real amazing being able to go out, still go to music festivals and not drink and not smoke weed. It smells amazing, but they're like, oh, you want some? I'm like, no, my best friend, she can have some. And I'm still dancing, still rocking it, you know?
Still living the life.
Yeah, fuck yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I even went out last night to a gay bar, Woof.
Oh, you went to Woof?
Yeah.
Downtown.
Yeah, it was cute. Yeah.
It's Josh's bar, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They were really cool people. Yeah. And my flatmate, who I'm staying at her mum's house, she said, can I trouble you for some hot water? And she had her decaf sachet, so she had a nice little decaf coffee, and I had a zero beer, and it was nice.
Wow.
Yeah, and we're walking past all those bars and I'm so loud. I'm like, I don't miss that. Drunk people coming up to you saying that we look like artists. This guy named Chubb. Yeah, anyway. And they really love my hoodie. And you guys must be artists. You guys have this amazing aura or something. I was like, well, I'm a gardener, so I sort of make things pretty outside and stuff. And Sophie's in a band. And then we looked him up on Instagram and he's an artist. And so I started following him.
There you go.
Yeah.
The world gets bigger and bigger.
It does.
Hey, well, thanks for being here this afternoon.
No worries.
Catch up with you in a vocabulary, no doubt.
Thank you to Dee for sharing so openly. That sense of belonging that we find in the rooms, it's what keeps people coming back. And it's a reminder that our primary purpose is to help the alcoholic who still suffers. And speaking of helping others, one of the vital services at any convention is the literature table. And Sue spoke with Ricky, also from Otatahi Christchurch, who was manning the table, and shared a bit about what that service means to him.
So Ricky, I see that you've got a bit of carrot cake in your hand there. Well-deserved treat after all your commitment you've been giving this convention today. What have you been up to? Introduce yourself first.
I'm Ricky, I'm an alcoholic, and I'm from Christchurch.
Where's Aunt Cherie?
Slight pause here. He's back.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm Ricky, alcoholic, and I'm from Christchurch, and my own group's Thursday night here with 8 o'clock group, and anyway, so I was had a service position as coordinator for the literature for the 2026 convention here in Dunedin. What a wonderful experience it was, getting around people that are chasing their sobriety. A little bit about myself. I grew up in Southland, and I battled with alcohol most of my life, and I didn't have an answer for it. And I come into AA, and I met an old man. Name was Russ C, and he became my sponsor, and he showed me how to find a spiritual way to a living problem that I couldn't, my best ideas just weren't working for me anymore, and the hardest thing for me to ever do was to ask for help. And finally I met someone that shared with me how I felt inside, and the journey began.
And you identified with him?
100%.
And how long was he your sponsor for?
2 years, and he passed away after 2 years.
Sorry to hear that. Yeah, yes. Yeah.
So what he showed me was how would I say it? In the big book, it talks about when our common sense can't get us sober, but it's uncommon sense, the spiritual way of life. And he taught me, I wanted what he had, and I didn't know how to go about it. And he taught me, he says, why don't you try making your bed? And I thought I was too good for that. So the journey began making my bed and getting up, doing the dishes, going to work, staying at work, working at work. Some of the things that that was beyond me, and I thought it was better than that. And what I've discovered in AA is the smallest things are the most important things in my sobriety. And that's just saying g'day to people and giving people time and just getting to work on time and doing that sort of stuff. So for me, service was hard simply because I am so selfish and self-centered that it always has to be about me, and for me to make it against about someone else is that uncommon sense that I've learned is the spiritual way of life.
No, it's great. And just to finish off, did you sell quite a few books to...
Funny.
That's where I met you.
Yeah. It's funny,
I'm a volunteer at that store.
I grew up at school in the special class where I'm dyslexic and I can't read. And what I found was when I first got a big book, I was shocked there was no pictures in it and I didn't know what to do. But through this program, I've turned the weaknesses into strength. That has nothing to give with me. But doesn't God have a sense of humour where I can't read, I couldn't read, and I was terrified of books, and I'm a literature person. So, and they were wonderful experience.
Well, thanks for your time today.
No worries.
And we'll catch you in Christchurch.
Yes.
It'll be amazing.
So if you're in Christchurch, come along to the 8 o'clock Hewood meeting. It's a fantastic meeting. And the most important message I can give anyone, find someone in AA you can sit down and talk to and be honest with, and your journey will begin. Cheers.
Literature really is the foundation of what we do, from the big book to the daily reflections. These tools keep us connected to the program when we can't make it to a meeting. Sue also caught up with Tash from Otatahi Christchurch.
So I'm sitting here with Tash, and we're just at the end of the convention, so it's just closed. And hi.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah, so
yeah, my name's Tash and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Tash. Mini meeting here, so. So, you'll tell me about your position, because you're from Nelson?
Yes, I am a Nelson member, so I've been living in Nelson for about 10 years. So my position, so with the radio station.
Oh, no, so more like you're sitting at the table at the beginning. You're helping chair.
Oh, right, this morning. Yeah. After the last convention, which was in Waitangi in the North Island, in the Northern Zone, I just emailed the contact for this convention and just offered to, help, just, volunteer just to be of service in whatever way, because I knew I'd want to come. And it's easier just to get those things over and done with rather than leave them. So I do, unless there's some reason not to, I do prefer to book early, like when I'm coming to events, flights and accommodation. So, so then I just got asked, maybe over a month ago, if I would chair a meeting on the Sunday morning, and I just said, yep, not a worry.
Great.
So that's why I was chairing this morning with someone else, a co-chairing.
Yeah. And how many of the meetings have you been to at the convention?
What are your highlights? Yeah, so there were some flight delays on Friday in Nelson and Christchurch, and I had some other important things on the go. So I ended up flying yesterday morning, so I actually missed the morning of the convention. So I went to one Al-Anon meeting and loved the public meeting. Yeah, last night, did this morning meeting, 9 till 10. Might have done something else yesterday afternoon. Yeah, and then I heard a snippet from the spirituality meeting.
Yeah.
So sort of in and out, which I don't really, it's not usual for me to do that, however. Had to talk to my nana in Air New Zealand and find out that I have to change my plans. So
great.
Yeah.
And tell me, the Al-Anon meeting, was that, do you associate that with that fellowship as well?
I do.
Right.
I do. Yeah. I've been going consistently for over a year. Yeah, and then I've done prior to that, done a couple of serious small stints.
Right.
Primarily AA, but yes, other fellowships as part of my story.
Yeah, that's right. Because for those who are listening, this convention is also run in parallel with what they call the sister fellowship, which is Al-Anon. And so that's, you can belong to a couple of memberships at the same time. Yeah. For different reasons.
Yes. I understand there are some guidelines around that as well, but I don't really know exactly what that is in Al-Anon, and I'm just not really there yet because I'm still learning.
Oh, that's amazing.
As a newbie.
Everything is broadening out, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's been an interesting convention here in Otapoti, and boy, do you really meet quite a range of people.
Yeah, and it's quite spread out, like the rooms of the venue. So it was obvious last night and this morning that, you know, how many people, because often people aren't in the, you know, they're in different rooms around the venue, different workshops. So it's hard to know or tell how many are actually there. Apart from, you know, the public meeting or that spirituality meeting, it's like, wow, there actually are a lot of people.
Yeah. And did you come here because you had flight difficulties? So I just assume that you've been travelling by yourself, or were you meeting people here as well?
So I travelled by myself from Nelson, Christchurch here, so I flew. And stayed with my sponsor and another lady who got the accommodation, who I stayed with last year, actually. So, yeah, we've already talked about staying in somewhere next year in Wellington.
I know, it's in Wellington, which we're looking forward to.
Yeah.
Great.
So, yeah, so she, you know, offered to book that as well. And yeah, so that's quite cool. That feels quite relaxing because someone else reliable can book it. So I don't have to do all that work.
Yay. Well, yeah, thanks for your time this afternoon. It's been, it's been good getting to know you, and we'll hear you on the radio. Thanks
a
lot.
You're welcome.
You know, one of the things that makes these conventions run smoothly is all the volunteers working behind the scenes. Sue and I caught up with Heather, who was volunteering with the catering team, keeping everyone fed and caffeinated throughout the weekend.
So have you been doing some service and stuff today?
I've organised all the catering and continuous team coffee.
Cool.
Right, and I'm Sue.
Kia ora, Heather.
And I'm Mike.
Hey, Mike.
Right, and tell me what you've been up to in the last 2 days.
My sister and I, we're both here, and we're from the Christchurch Fellowship, so we offered to do some service.
Awesome.
And they said we'd be at Otago Boys High School, so we came and had a look at the venue, and we've organised a marquee so it didn't all get wet.
Your outfit.
We've got
for those that are listening, it's pink.
Rule 62. So tell us about Rule 62.
So Rule 62 is from page 104 of AA Comes of Age. It's from Tradition 4. And it means just don't take yourself so goddamn seriously.
Oh, excellent.
And just think he does it and everything.
That's cool. And have you had time to go to some talks and meetings, or have you been just busy?
I've been busy.
Yeah.
And busy, not just busy with the food prep and organising. I've been busy. I've had time to stop and actually talk to people.
Yeah, cool.
Which has been amazing.
The connection.
Especially our visitors. You know, yeah. I looked over and there was a guy, he's from Ohio, from the US, he's come all the way to our convention. So you stop and have a chat, and that's what it's all about, talking.
Yeah, cool. Mm.
Thank
you so much for your service.
Pleasure.
Yeah.
How many people have you been feeding in the last few days?
Yeah, I've got a schedule.
A schedule? A
million
schedule?
Yes.
Yeah, for dietary requirements as well.
I've been a bit slack in that department.
Oh, have you? Okay.
Yeah, tried.
Yeah.
I've got some vegan baking. I've always put out things for gluten free.
And plant milk. I noticed some plant milk.
So much consumption, more than I expected. And green tea, done that. Because we've got such a fairly limited facility, we needed to be careful to work within our means, you know, to carry it away with me.
Right. And when do you finish? Are you finishing wrapping up tomorrow?
After morning tea tomorrow, we'll pack down. Got a crew doing that. So we had crews coming and helping us with each stage of the day. So there's any volunteers who would like to volunteer. So I gave them options. People said when they could come, made the schedule. They come, they go. Kia ora.
And so we missed your name right at the beginning.
Heather D.
Heather D.
So I've taken the lanyard off.
And where's your home group, Heather?
I'm from Woman in Recovery, Christchurch Friday Night.
Cool.
Yeah. I just celebrated 25 years
last week.
Wow, fantastic. And shout out to the Friday Nighters.
Yeah. Yeah. Just one last thing I just want to say is that we, when I say we, my sister and I, we went to the international convention in Vancouver, Canada last July. They have 5,000 volunteers helping us. Every single one of them is welcoming and completely committed to their service. So it's a real flow-on effect. I can't take any credit. I'm just copying them.
Carrying the message.
So cool.
Awesome.
Thanks so much, Heather.
And finally, to wrap up our convention coverage, Sue spoke with Brendan from Christchurch, who's involved in service with the Southern Area Assembly. We talked earlier about the SAA and the region they cover, and Brendan really gives us insight into what the service work looks like on the ground.
Hey, so I'm sitting here. It's the closing, or it has closed, the 63rd convention, and I'm sitting with Brendan. Hi, Brendan.
Hi, I'm Brendan. I'm an alcoholic, and it's been another amazing week. And I was saying to someone just before, I don't have much to compare it to. It's only my second convention in a little over 12 months, but I'm already, you know, I came in not planning on the next one, and probably after two conversations, I'm already getting ready to book flights with my wife. So it's exciting to go to the next one. But it's I had the opportunity to share towards the end of the closing meeting, which was fantastic. And I'll probably just repeat what I said there, which is like it's so amazing to come together with my family. Like, one thing I didn't get to share about in that meeting actually was that, you know, I got married last year, like I said at the last convention. And, you know, we probably had 80 or so guests at the wedding, and probably about 35 of them were from AA, you know, cause that's my family and that's who I wanted there with me to celebrate the day. And a lot of them, you know, I was looking out of that meeting, a lot of them were there today. So it comes full circle, and it's so good to every conversation I've had with everybody throughout the weekend is just celebrating sobriety and celebrating, you know, like that last meeting was kind of the rewards of sobriety, but just every component of it, you know, like every time I come together with this many AAs, whether it's a convention or assembly or a speaker meeting, whatever, it's always that shared experience, like the detail. We love the details. That's why we laugh and smile and cry and all that, is all the stuff we go through in life. But we'll all have that same alcoholic experience, and we've all gotten here in the same way at the end of the day. And then we've all had to put our heads down and very, you know, very reluctantly and with lots of defiance, finally suck it up and do what everyone else has done. And then we get what everyone else gets. So it's like, I'll never get sick of hearing it. You know, it's just like, I never get sick of doing the first step every day. It's super important that I identify as an alcoholic, because then it shapes how I act throughout the whole day. And then I come to these and it recharges that of like, yeah, I'm an alcoholic, and I'm an alcoholic in recovery that gets to travel and see my friends. And, you know, it's awesome. And, you know, the service has been a big part of it too. Like, being able to put it on has been amazing, but it just to come together and see everybody every year or every couple of months or whatever is. It's great. Yeah. It's the best part of my life, really. Like, and I don't want to be like, you know, like AA is the biggest part of my life. That is true. And I love it. But my life is so full of everything else as a result, you know, like this is such a big part, but spending time with my wife and my family and a dog is such a big part, and my job is a big part, and I've reconnected with my family back in the States and all these things, like it's so full, and it's all because of this. So it's, you know, I'm just grateful to have been here. And yeah, it's been great. Thanks.
Amazing. Yeah, amazing. Yeah. And what an end to a fantastic convention. Yeah, yeah. Thank you for your time.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for asking me to share.
All right.
Yeah.
I want to thank Brendan and everyone else who does service work, whether it's at the group level, the area level, or beyond. Service keeps this whole thing alive. It keeps our doors open for the newcomer who's going to walk through them tomorrow. The 63rd Annual AA Convention in Dunedin was a powerful reminder of what happens when we come together, when we share our experience, strength and hope. from the Mihi Whakatau that welcomed us onto the grounds at Otago Boys High School, to the late night fellowship conversations, to the formal meetings and the informal moments in between. It was all a testament to the simple program for complicated people that's been working for 90 years internationally and right here in New Zealand for 80 years. If you weren't able to make it to the convention, we hope these interviews gave you a taste of what you missed, and if you were there, well, maybe hearing these voices again will remind you of why we keep coming back. Before we close out, I just want to say, whether you're brand new to AA or you've been around for decades, there's always something to learn. Always someone to connect with, always hope. That's what I took away from Dunedin, and that's what I'm carrying forward. On behalf of Sue and myself, thank you for listening to this special edition of AA Live. Keep coming back. It works if you work it.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.